Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. This Korean artist, Kim Ki-cheng, was born in Seoul in the year 1914, the same year that the Western powers thousands of miles away began the First World War. When Woonbu, as he was known to his family and friends, was 8 years old, he became completely deaf and partially mute as a result of typhoid fever. It paralyzed his eardrums. His mother introduced him to traditional ink painting when he was 16. He started studying with a Korean master at that point. She was a devout Christian. She was a Methodist, and later on in his life, Kim Ki-cheng, Woonbu, became a Roman Catholic. In the middle of the Korean War, in 1952, an American missionary was talking with Kim Ki-cheng, and he encouraged him to start exploring the theme of Jesus in his painting, and explicitly to paint Jesus in Korean dress and among Korean people, because as a missionary, his message was, Jesus is for all people. Jesus is for you. Jesus is for Koreans. And so that's what he did. Kim Ki-cheng painted 30 scenes from the life of Christ in traditional Korean dress and scenery, including, as you see here, the baptism of Christ. Woonbu died in 2001. He wrote an autobiography during a time of extreme agony suffered by his people during the war. And that as he painted, he was praying. That the praying and the painting were one and the same. He was praying for the quick end of the Korean War and for a unified peace. His wife later said that she never saw him more peaceful in his entire life than when he was painting these scenes from the life of Christ. The Gospel of Mark that Garrett just read was also a work created out of war. It was written toward the end of a 4-year Jewish war in which the Romans had eventually destroyed Jerusalem, the holy city, and the temple, the place where Jews had worshipped God on earth for over 500 years, the place where it was said that heaven and earth met together. War, conquest, and violence seemed to be a permanent feature of the human condition. And yet, so are art and music and story, ways that people not only cope with this darkness of life, but seem to transcend it at times, bringing beauty and life out of ugliness and death, bringing order out of chaos, which is exactly what happens in the Genesis account of creation. God brings order out of chaos. God is this original artist, in other words. So Mark's gospel, written in a time of war, gives nothing more than the sparest of details. But in the way that he moves from story to story, I think there's a lesson for us about this holy season of Lent and about who Jesus is for us in the midst of the turmoil and chaos of the world and in the midst of the turmoil and chaos of our own lives. The baptism of Jesus, as recorded by Mark, is light on detail. But it is a profound moment, nevertheless. A revelation of beauty and deep meaning, as Woonbu captured so well in this painting. So imagine with me for a moment. Jesus goes under the water. He is completely submerged for those few moments. The sound of the people around him stops for a moment, and all he can hear is the muffled sounds of the crowds around him. Maybe in that moment of silence, he wonders what this is all about. What is this all for? What is it that seems to have compelled him to go out into the wilderness and to be baptized by his cousin, John? And then, just as quickly, he is pulled up out of the water by the force of John's arms, and he has this profound moment of meaning and purpose. Everything seems to make sense now. The heavens are torn apart. The Spirit descends like a dove on him. The voice from heaven proclaims, yes, You are the beloved. You are the child of God. You are doing the right thing. You are in the right place. You have made the right decision. You are on the right path. This is all good and right and correct. Congratulations, Jesus. Sigh of relief, maybe. A deep breath. The peace of God settles in Jesus' heart, and everything, the turmoil and the questions and the doubts, are stilled. The path is confirmed. The way forward is clear. And then Mark says, immediately, the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness for 40 days, where he was tempted by Satan. I don't know about you, but this is where I really appreciate the bluntness of Mark's account. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. In other words, Jesus, as soon as he knew the power and joy of that moment where everything seemed to line up, where the path seemed crystal clear, where he knew that he was the beloved one of God, chosen for a very specific purpose, was immediately tested and tried and tempted. Now, in Mark's gospel, we don't get the three temptations that Matthew and Luke record. Mark is very sparse and light on details, but what we do know is that Jesus was tested. That is to say, he was scrutinized. He was put under the microscope. He was put under pressure to see whether he would crack under the burden of being human. When we see this word temptation often, we imagine that it means that something enticing was put in front of Jesus, like those experiments that they did with toddlers, you know, in the 70s. Before we realized that we probably shouldn't do things like that, you know, the marshmallow test and stuff like that, or like walking through Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and dutifully obeying all the rules and not touching anything he wasn't supposed to touch and reading the signs and doing exactly what the signs tell him to do. We think that that's what temptation means. But Matthew and Luke, as they expand this passage from Mark's gospel, what we learn is that the real point of this temptation of Jesus is to try to throw him off, to pull him away from the mission and purpose of his existence that he had just gotten confirmed in his baptism. In the wilderness, there's no voice from heaven. There's no parting of the skies. There's no angelic choir. Mark does say that the angels waited on Jesus and helped him, but Matthew and Luke say that that was after this temptation had already passed. The temptation of Jesus then is the flip side, the opposite of Jesus' baptism. Where there were crowds of people at the baptism, now there is no one present. Where there was the confirming presence of God in the form of the dove, now there's only silence. Where there was the reassuring touch of his friend and cousin John, there is now no human contact. It's as though Jesus has been plunged back into the water, but now there's no one to pull him back up. And so the temptation facing Jesus in this moment is to create a shortcut around all of this. It's to avoid these parts of the human condition, the loneliness, the confusion, the doubt, the isolation of being human. Why not, Jesus, just do some magic tricks to feed the hungry? Why not just force people to follow you, compel them to do the right thing? Why not just draw on the power that oozes from every pore of your divine nature and escape the human condition? After all, why would you want this? Why would you want to throw your lot in with these people? You see what they did to your forebears, to the prophets? You see what the Romans are doing to the world? This place is doomed, going to hell in a handbasket. Better to find another way. Maybe you've had a moment or two in your life where everything seemed to line up, when the heavens opened and you seemed to hear the voice of God speaking clearly and plainly. You're in the right place. You're doing the right thing. Everything is going to be okay. But I would imagine, if your life has been anything like mine, that those moments were very quickly followed by seasons of doubt and confusion as well. A season in the wilderness, a season when the voice stopped speaking, and there was nothing but silence. And when that happens, this passage from Mark's gospel has good news. It has a message for you and for me. We are in very good company. The very Son of God knows what it is like to spend a season in the wilderness. The very Son of God knows what it is like to endure the silence. The very Son of God has chosen, nevertheless, to be with us, to stay with us, to be like us, to endure with us, alongside us in those moments. And in every moment of our lives, He has chosen us. He has chosen freely of His own will not to leave us and not to forsake us. Notice what happens next in Mark's gospel, right after the temptation in the wilderness. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Jesus had the mountaintop experience, the baptism, the voice of God speaking clearly and plainly. He had the wilderness experience, the isolation, the temptation, the silence. And now we have the good news. Jesus comes back from the wilderness with the resolve, the intention, the peace of someone who has known both the mountaintop and the wilderness and has now experienced something transformative. The sustaining love of God for all of humanity. Even through times and seasons of profound isolation and loneliness, He comes out of the wilderness ready to proclaim that God is here. The kingdom of God is near to each one of us. He comes out of the wilderness ready to say, God stands ready to forgive, to save. All of this is good news. Jesus did not escape or reject our humanity, but embraced it and transforms it. Jesus brings us near to the very heart of God. In 2014, to celebrate the 100th birthday of Weibo, the Seoul Art Museum exhibited his paintings of the life of Christ in an exhibit that was titled Jesus and the Deaf Sheep. After Umbo had lost his hearing as a boy, he only heard silence for the rest of his life. Silence is a kind of wilderness, and it can be incredibly isolating and lonely. And yet in his art, and especially in these portraits of Christ, Umbo found the voice of God. He found the peace of God coming out of his wilderness. The peace of Christ is deep and profound, and it's nearer to each one of us than we often imagine. Jesus says, it's good news. The kingdom of God has come near. It is here within us and among us now and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.